Talkin' Baseball here on ESPN 1000.
The 1-1 pitch. Germain drives it up the middle. A base hit to center. Harris scores. The White Sox have a 1-0 lead in the eighth.
Vince Lloyd clapping in the background as the White Sox, Germain Dye, coming through in 2005. Talking baseball on ESPN 1000, along with Bruce Levine, Jonathan Hood with you.
Has that expired now? The White Sox, well, we won in 2005. Is that, the White Sox fans, are they going to still live with that when it comes to, you know, their expectations for the team when they don't come through?
Well, you happen to have a White Sox fan right here. I'll be glad to answer.
Please.
A lot of Sox fans are going to hold on to it. You know, I cherish it as a memory.
No.
But the issue is, though, is that I look at the future. You know, Kenny Williams, he's turned the page on 2005, so why can't I? I mean, he's turned the page. He's about winning right now. And actually, that is the problem with the White Sox. I actually believe that every team should have a feeling that they can win it. But I think that Kenny Williams takes it to a little bit of an extreme at times. Here's what I mean. This past season, despite the pitching, Bruce, you knew coming in offensively they were going to have some challenges. And they could have been a playoff team, but when you take on the Red Sox, when you take on the Yankees and the upper echelon of the American League, the Sox could not match them bat for bat. Look at the World Series champions. Yeah, they paid for it, mm-hmm. but 1-9, they had a murderer's row up there. Sox didn't have that. Sox did not have that. They had so many question marks coming
I'll tell you
in.
What else Sox didn't have? They didn't have a $210 million payroll.
I understand.
So what Yankees spend their way, you know, we've talked about this on the show many times and on my ESPNChicago.com blog, the fact that, you know, people spend their way like the Yankees and the Red Sox through mistakes. And a great way to do that is to also build through your farm system. The Yankees and Red Sox both have done a nice job of building bases of their team through their farm system. So the money that they do throw out there that's extra, they can take a chance on a player. And sometimes when they swing and miss, they don't stop right there. They don't say, okay, you can't spend any more money. They go out there and they get another player to help them win if it's July or August. And even in September, they'll go on and add a player to help them win, to get into the playoffs and to be better in the playoffs. Whereas, you know, the other markets, you know, Chicago, both teams, the Dodgers and the Angels, maybe the Angels a little more. Dodgers have this philosophy now as well of adding at the end of the year. But if you're a big market team, you have to be able to play with the big boys, you have to be able to add, and you have to have some flexibility mm-hmm. in your payroll so that when toward the end of the season comes, you are able to compete, not just say, you know, we spent all our money. You can't do that in a big market. But the key is that Kenny Williams is doing a nice job of building his team through his own players and for other people's young players as well. This team continues. I mean, Tehan, you traded a young guy in Getz who's 24, but you got back a guy that's 28. Mm-hmm. That's not old. He's going into his prime years. 28 through 32 are the baseball prime years. They're probably every athlete's prime years. It's when you're at your full peak of strength, and you're probably going to be at your peak of your ability as well, and that's what they're getting and hoping to get in Mark Tehan.
Talking baseball on ESPN 1000, the Sox will not have Germain Dye back in 2010. Dye really wants to return to the South Side as a designated hitter maybe, but I can understand why the Sox parted with him. I mean, the declining numbers that we saw was a little bit too much. At some point, you have to get younger at some positions. If your name is Vladimir Guerrero, where you'd get another opportunity because you know your numbers, you might be injured a little bit, but your numbers will be pretty good. Germain Dye, I can understand why they parted with him. You gotta do something different.
Well, it's 2 years in a row where he had declining numbers at the end of the season.
Sure.
At the end of 2008, he had one home run in his last 96 at-bats. This year, after the All-Star game, I think he struggled to hit even 200. There was no production. And as great as a player he was for the White Sox and a terrific clubhouse guy, a guy that does everything right as far as being a baseball player and teammate, ultimately you have to produce, regardless of all those intangibles that add up to being a great player that you want to have. And that was not the case for Jermaine Dye. At the end of the season, they saw a guy that was battling age and battling fatigue at the end of the year. And I agree with you. It's time for him to move on. I think he can be a productive player as a part-time outfielder and a part-time DH for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his days of making $10, $11, $12 million are probably over with. Although, if you look at the first half of the season and somebody wants to pay him for his first half, he almost had all-star numbers, and,
right.
and then it declined.
Yeah, I appreciate Jermaine Dye as a Sox fan watching him, because when Magley Ordonez was no longer with the White Sox, it took a little bit away from me, because, again, you watch Maglio and the service he put in. I was a big fan of his. And then when Jermaine Dye became a White Sox, I was thinking, well, isn't this guy going to be oft injured? Is he going to have the same numbers or numbers that are very similar to Maglio? Well, he did a really nice job. I have to give him a lot of credit.
Well,
he stayed healthy.
I think it was, except for the one career year that Maglio had, and Maglio is a very good player,
mm-hmm.
Jermaine Dye outplayed him.
Yeah.
Out-homered him.
Yep.
Clubhouse-wise, a much bigger factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't emphasize enough what a professional Jermaine Dye is, and what a great teammate he is on a daily basis, just being there, showing up, you know, preparing as he did, and being there for his teammates. He was a very strong influence on the Chicago White Sox. Him and Canerco, you know, Przinski, there's a few other guys in that team that create the professionalism that goes along with being a Chicago White Sox player.
Yeah, I appreciate him.
And that goes a long way to winning baseball games, as long as you have enough talent to go along with it.
All right, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Mike Bloomberg standing by with SportsCenter. Coming up next, do the White Sox have money or not? We address it next. Talking baseball, Levine and Hood on ESPN 1000.
We're talking Cubs. We're talking Sox. We're talking baseball here on ESPN 1000.
Anytime you let go of a guy that's been homegrown, it's that much tougher. And the same with Josh Fields, although, you know, Josh is a different case, and we certainly wanted to give him an opportunity, you know, to go out and perform and, you know, play at the big league level when we didn't have that opportunity for him here.
Kenny Williams talking to the media regarding the trades, as Mark Tian is now a Chicago White Sox. Along with Bruce Levine, Jonathan Hood with you on Talking Baseball on ESPN 1000.
Is our Sports Center update over yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're back on the air.
All right. Just wanted to make sure.
Mike
gave us everything but that cricket score. I'm hoping for that cricket score on the next update.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Text your thoughts at 33776. Don't forget to go to ESPNChicago.com, where you can see all the blogs and columns that you need, including Bruce's blog. Has a lot of stuff on the White Sox, especially as he was the one to break the news to all of us that Mark Tian is now a White Sox. One of your blogs that you wrote this week, Moving Pieces, with little room and budget, don't count on Sox buying big bat. Do they have the money or not to be able to get into free agency?
Well, you know, again, creativity is what it's all about. And is there any more creative general manager than Kenny Williams? Last year, they didn't have a budget either. I mean, they were up against it, and they were smack dab against, you know, payroll about $95 million. And, you know, he goes out there and adds Jake Peavy for $60 million and Alex Rios for $60 million. So when the White Sox say they have no money, it's true, but you know, they were projecting the fact that Tomy was coming off the books. Dye was coming off the books. Dotel was coming off the books. Who else? Contreras was coming off the books.
Mm-hmm.
They already projected that when they made those moves. So when people say, well, the White Sox aren't going to make any big moves, their big moves were made for this year at the end of last year when they got Peavy and when they got Rios. Most people aren't even looking at that right now. So can they add a Sean Figgins? The quick answer, with the payroll being about $95 million already, is no, they can't.
Right.
The longer answer is, if they trade Bobby Jenks and they redo their bullpen, that's $7 million coming off of the payroll. That's what his number is going to be through arbitration this year, maybe $7.5 million. Then the creativity is there to be able to sign Sean Figgins to a three-year $10 or $11 million a year contract,
and that would
they'll find another $3 million along the way.
That would just be one more bat That's all that, I think that's all that, that Mr. Reinsdorf will allow for Kenny Williams, because you made the Rios and Peavy deal, okay, for better or for worse. The Rios deal, by the way, better work in 2010 and 2011 in the future, because it's going to make,
Well, you're saying that's the Milton Bradley deal of the White Sox future if it doesn't work out?
That's what's
going to be hanging over the head of Kenny Williams?
It's going to make the Todd Ritchie trade look like Brock Fabrolio. I'm just telling you. Yeah, I mean, the Rios deal better work if that's going to be your future outfielder. It better work.
Well, it's based on their scouting and based on the fact that they put a claim in and Toronto said, here you go, pal. It's all yours.
Okay.
All you got to do is pick up the contract, $60 million, and it was already too late. But the fact is that he's a very good defensive player. If he doesn't hit at all, it's going to be a tough situation for him. But defensively going into next season, you may be able to project them being a more athletic, better equipped team to go out and stop that fourth out in an inning from happening.
You know what's interesting is we go to the phone lines, 312-332-ESPN on Talking Baseball on ESPN 1000. If the Sox are able to get Figgins and put him in the outfield or have him as a leadoff guy, I don't think the Sox are Figgins away from being a viable contender. Despite me liking their starting pitching, there's still some questions of the bullpen. Whether, as you mentioned earlier, will Jinks come back? I'm not a big fan of Thornton being the closer either. You still have question marks. Are you Yankees good? Are you Red Sox good? Are you Angels good? You still have to ask yourself those questions as you make these deals.
And it's pretty much getting to that second and third round in the playoffs, because if you look at the Phillies and you look at the Yankees at the end, those bullpens, neither manager wanted to go to his bullpen unless it was Rivera for two. And, you know, as the announcers were talking about, maybe he'll come in the seventh inning and pitch three innings. And that's pretty much what Joe Girardi was thinking. And when it came to Charlie Manuel, he was just closing his eyes, you know, basically putting a blinder on, spinning around, and playing pin the tail on the reliever.
Right.
Because none of those guys were getting the job done at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very tough for him to watch. So the point is you have to get the strong bullpen to get you there. Once you get there, you see him piece it together. I mean, Cliff Lee wasn't on the Phillies, you know, at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Pedro Martinez wasn't on the Phillies at the beginning of the year. There are two guys that pitched in the World Series for you. You know, the Dodgers make some moves. Two or three of their guys were not with the team at the beginning of the year. They were integral parts of the team going to the second round of the playoffs. So, you know, getting there is the key. Once you get there, you see teams trying to piece it together, and that's pretty much the Yankees were just a little bit stronger at the end than the Phillies were.
Talking baseball on ESPN 1000, the phone lines we go. Southside, Ron is on ESPN 1000. I think Ron finally was able to get those leaves. It's only November, Ron. Good to see the yard cleaned up. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Hey, look here. You all were talking about relief pitching. I want to know if y'all heard anything about that, just possible trade with Tampa Bay, Bobby Jinks for Carl Crawford. And where is probably the value? I know a couple years back, Carl Crawford appeared to be pretty much in demand. But I agree with you all. You got to be very, very careful. Jonathan, I agree with you. I'm not 100% yet sure about Matt Thornton being a closer. You know, once you move him out of that setup position, then you'll need that. So maybe you guys can address that. Thank you.
All right, Ron, we appreciate your telephone call. Well, the Jinx is not throwing 99 and 100, and I don't mind that, but if he was crafty in getting outs, then I like it even more so. I just think that we've seen the best. I don't think we're going to see the best of Jinx anymore, as we saw from 05 to this point.
Well, one thing he can do is pitch,
mm-hmm.
and he has shown that the creation of Bobby Jinx from a thrower when he came up in 2005, and the guy that turned 95 and had a little bit of a very good breaking ball that he'd throw in there as well, to being consummate just pitcher, you know, trying to outfox hitters rather than blow the ball by him. That evolution has taken place over the last 5 years. Now the question is, you know, with the wear and tear on any reliever's arm, the conditioning aspect for Jinks, which he hates to hear about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's listening now, he's going to slam on his brakes, you know, pull over and start, you know, swearing. But the fact is that the White Sox still consider that an issue about the conditioning and how long he'll hold up. Nevertheless, I still think he's a very, very good closer. And he has a closer's mentality, which is a key. And that is, you know, when you get beat, the next day you come back and you get the job done. You just blow it off. Not everybody can do that. Mm-hmm. And Matt Thornton hasn't been put in that position at this point to have to go through that. Matt Thornton was a guy that took 9 years to develop in the minor leagues for the Seattle Mariners. And when he was empowered by Don Cooper and Ozzie Guillen to just go out there and throw, he came an awful long way. As to whether he's going to be a closer and be a shutdown closer, he certainly has his stuff. I mean, his stuff was as good as anybody's out of the bullpen in baseball last year. 97-mile-an-hour fastball, outstanding breaking ball, throwing a changeup now and then. The question is, when he has a tough day or two, if he'll be able to be resilient enough mentally to bounce back.
That's the whole thing. You want your closer to be a little bit nuts, a little bit off-center, a guy that can just say, okay, I blew it today, but I'm going to be able to bounce back the next day. Some guys have it, some guys don't. That's tough in Major League Baseball.
Talking baseball here on ESPN 1000.
If you don't like the White Sox, too bad. You know, if you think that we have this jealousy of the Chicago Cubs, well, you are sadly mistaken about that, because you can have this place, you can have the Cubs, you can have whatever you want. I'll stick with my Comiskey Park. I'll stick with the Chicago White Sox. It's all fine and dandy about being next to Yoxies and a couple of other places, but this place is really, truly a dump. I mean, when you go downstairs, you got the press box. This is an antiquated press box. You go downstairs, and all you smell is urine and spilled beer in this ballpark. And this is beautiful? Give me a freaking break.
Dave Wills. Oh, no. Tampa Bay Rays broadcaster, formerly of ESPN 1000, talking baseball on ESPN 1000.
I thought he was talking about like a retirement home there for a moment. Willsie.
Nobody represented White Sox Nation.
And I don't think he's cheering for the White Sox any longer.
No. I asked him about that. He goes, I'm with the Rays now.
That's
right. The Rays. The Rays are dancing. The Rays are dancing.
Man. There's a six numbers on that paycheck that guarantee it.
Yeah, no question about that. I thought you were a White Sox born and White Sox bred.
That's
Oakland
right,
guy.
That's right.
That's right.
I struck out
Bill Meldon with
Dave
one pitch.
Will's one of the better broadcasters and a good friend. I miss him in Chicago here, but he's certainly doing a fine job for the Tampa Rays. I got a letter from... the Chicago White Sox, an email. It says,
what did it say?
Bruce, I wanted to take this opportunity to share the news about Mark Tian and offer you the chance to see all the great action of 2010 White Sox season as a season ticket holder. We offer the full 81-game plan, two different 27-game plans, and a 13-game plan. If you purchase your tickets before January 1st, you receive a special early bird price, which is the same as 2009. And for anybody that's interested in acquiring White Sox tickets, I think this is great, especially for people to know that if they go out there and support the White Sox quickly by putting down their $500 deposit for the full season plan for next year, maybe they can go out and get another free agent.
That's exactly right.
You know, so, I mean, if you don't think marketing and department and, of course, Brooks Boyer, the director of marketing, who's basically oversees tickets as well, and the baseball department mesh, and one has a lot to do with the other, you're kidding yourself. As I mentioned in my ESPNChicago.com blog this week, the Cubs will be hiring a new, quote-unquote, high-profile marketing director next week. I do not know who it is. That's why I wrote it that way. I was only told by a source with the Cubs that it'll be somebody that's well-known in the Chicago area, and he'd be a great people person to go out there and represent, much like Brooks Boyer and John McDonough was in the past for the Cubs, and Boyer is for the Chicago White Sox, and, of course, Steve Shainwald with the Chicago Bulls. It takes a very, very outgoing and very smart individual to be a marketing director in sports these days, possibly the second or third most powerful job in any sports organization now, the marketing director.
Absolutely. There's just no question about it, because it's about putting a butt every 18 inches in your ballpark. And as much money as you can spend and put in that ballpark, the more free agents that you should be able to get.
Again, are we talking about a retirement home?
312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Fans in the stands is what I was referring to.
Okay.
You just got back from Arizona, and our production staff mistaken you for me. They mm-hmm. saw you come in and say, Bruce, is that Jonathan or is that Bruce? Because of the tan that you got while you were in Arizona.
Yeah, I was out watching the Arizona Fall League, watching the Cubs and Sox players. Very impressed with Starlin Castro, Josh Vitters of the Cubs, and Jordan Danks of the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressed with all three players. Danks can be, as you heard Kenny Williams talk on his phone press conference yesterday, he's going to have a shot to make the team out of spring training. Hitting 380 down there, considered the best outfielder in the White Sox organization, can play all three positions, left-handed hitter. Don't know about the leadoff man. I read that in a couple reports today.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really run the bases quite that well. He's a good base runner. I don't think he's a base stealer. Let's take a look at Mr. Danks' numbers very quickly.
Ideally, where would you see him in the lineup? Fifth?
Sixth? Probably starting as a sixth hitter.
Okay.
Let's see. Jordan Danks in 2009... hit 322 at Winston-Salem before being promoted to Birmingham, where he hit 243. Combined, had 9 home runs, 51 RBIs, and combined 12 stolen bases in, 16 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So not slow. I don't know if he's going to be the 30-base stealer type, but definitely not a base clogger. So a very finished product in the outfield. Play him anywhere. Fun, intelligent kid. I got to talk to him a little bit, for about a half hour when I was there. I think he's got a shot to make it.
312-332-ESPN is our phone number for Talking Baseball here on ESPN 1000. Downtown Mike is on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Doing well. And yourself?
Good. Is this Mike Huff?
It is.
Mike Huff.
How are you doing?
Bruce, we have a special guest in the line.
Yes, we do. Mike Huff, former White Sox outfielder and also broadcaster for the Chicago White Sox. You did 6 games this year, Mike, when Steve was off?
Exactly, and a couple days when Hawk had some personal business, and a lot of fun doing those games with both Steve and Ken.
And, Mike, you're now working with the White Sox Academies here in Chicago area?
Yep, just came back a couple months ago working out in Lisle at the Bull Sox Academies, and we do over 400 or 500 camps, both basketball, baseball, and fast pitch from Waukegan all the way through Northwest Indiana. And being a part of a little bit of a restructure and tweaking to make this thing a little bit bigger and better as we go forward.
Give us what's the website if people are interested?
It's pretty easy. www.bullssoxacademy.com.
Okay.
We're actually going to be changing the website a little bit, so what you're seeing now will be changing going forward. And we've got not only facilities in Lisle, opening up one in LaGrange. We've got a grand opening down in Shearerville, Indiana at the Omni 41, where we're bringing and getting a larger space in there. And my hope is to bring basketball along with baseball and fast pitch very soon, hopefully in 2010. We also have a facility in Tinley, as well as one in LaGrange.
Mike, being the outstanding defensive outfielder that you were in your career, how much does outfield defense contribute to winning or losing a ball game? And do the White Sox need to upgrade that, or now that they have Rios in center, is that the beginning of a better outfield for them in 2010?
Well, I mean, I think, again, I'm going to be partial because being an outfielder, I think it's incredibly important. But I do think there's usually one or two games a month that come down to the outfield plate. Have you hit a cutoff man? Have you held a runner to second on a ball that might have been a triple? Those types of things. And I think Rios is going to be a marked improvement in all three positions with the amount of range he has. And Bruce, I know you can remember a guy, Devon White in Toronto, that when you have someone like that can cover that much ground that easily, you can put some people like a Joe Carter or a, Carlos Delgado or someone in Ricky Henderson in left field, Joe in right, knowing you've got someone that can cover an awful lot of space.
Well, I hope that's the case. From what you saw the team last year, What do you think are some of the additions that they could use to be a little bit better next season?
Well, and that's kind of where I wanted to call in and ask you, Bruce, as you've been around the league and seen much more of the potential outfielders out there. I think, again, Kehan, as much as I hate to see Getz go, because being a white guy that stole bases and his percentage, you know, I think you always need someone like that. But, again, Kehan was one of those whenever we would play Kansas City that you just kind of held your breath because you knew he could hurt you in a number of different ways and hits to all field. But I wanted to ask you, who else you've seen around the league that you think might be available for the Sox in the outfield?
Well, it's the economics of baseball, Mike, as you well know, and the White Sox do not have an awful lot of money to spend. That's why Kenny talked to you yesterday about the fact that Scott Pesednik, who had a terrific year for them for 5 months of the season, probably won't be back because he's looking for more years and more money than the White Sox have to offer. Obviously, Sean Figgins would be a nice guy to put in either the outfield or the infield if the White Sox can come up with a few dollars. That's just going to be the question mark here as to how much they have to spend and what type of other moves they're going to make, Mike, as far as are they going to trade Bobby Jenks to free up some payroll, and what will their bullpen look like with Thornton the closer and a Linebrink and Pena as your major setup men going into next year?
Well, I mean, I want you guys to know every Saturday I'm listening to you as I'm going to the various satellites and doing things with the academy. So I totally agree with what you guys are saying about, you know, Bobby being probably the most tradable commodity that can bring the most to you. And I think, again, if Garcia is healthy, to your point, I can't look around the league and see any five starters, let alone four, that would be met on a par with the White Sox, which to me, Bruce, and tell me if you disagree with this, that allows you to put all your good, talented young arms into the bullpen where they can learn the game, talk to Coop, talk to the starting pitchers, even though they're in the bullpen, and kind of get their feet wet. So I think even if you lose Jenks, you're going to be able to throw a couple of good, young, strong arms around Thornton, and my hope is that they do a decent job out there.
Yeah, that's going to be key. Mike, thanks for calling in, and keep up the great work with the Bulls and Sox Academy. We'll give out that number again, and keep listening to Talking Baseball. I appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
No problem, guys. Great show. Take care.
All right, take care. They don't want to end up with a 2006 bullpen, or was it 2007?
2007 bullpen. Remember, they went from World Series to 90 wins to 90 losses.
Right. They don't want to go. I mean, they had young power arms, Ardsma, and you know, the left-hander that they got from the Cubs through Kansas City.
Well, they had the old closer, the right-hander, the McDougal.
Right.
Was part of that mix.
I'm spacing out on.
Was Mike Myers there too for
at
a minute?
The end, yeah.
For a song.
But the point is, you just can't have arms in the bullpen. You got to have people that actually get somebody out. We're getting waved to by Adam Abdullah. Hi, Adam.
He's saying we got to get to SportsCenter. And coming up next, we'll talk about those free agent outfielders. What's the outfield alignment going to look like for the Cubs in 2010? We'll ask Bruce next. Talking baseball, Levine and Hood. Hello, Adam, on ESPN 1000.
We're talking Cubs. We're talking Sox. We're talking baseball here on ESPN 1000.
Talking baseball on ESPN 1000. Along with Bruce Levine, Jonathan Hood with you. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. I've got odds, Bruce, for the 2010 World Series. And on my first sheet...
Let me guess before you even tell me, okay?
Sure.
The Yankees are right now a probably 5-2 shot to win again.
Yep, 11-4.
Okay, pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Next would be... The Phillies coming back again. Are they ranked two? Or they have it in leagues?
Third. 9-1 shot.
9-1 shot.
Mm-hmm.
So they have another American League second, another American League team second.
What do you think of Yankees? You think of?
The Boston Red Sox.
13-2. Yes.
Followed by the Phils.
Mm-hmm.
At what?
9-1.
And then you would get the Dodgers back in there.
Dodgers are 11-1.
What are they ranked?
Angels and Cardinals are ahead of them on
okay.
this list. Interesting.
Cardinals without Matt Halliday.
Mm-hmm.
or Holiday, rather. That should be interesting.
It should. Cubs and White Sox, by the way, the Cubs are 15-1. The White Sox are 22-1.
I'd like to put a couple bucks on both.
I think it's interesting that the Rockies...
Do you still have a bookie?
Yes.
Okay.
In Antigua, in the West Indies. Still using the rotary phone. I think it's interesting that the Rockies 18-1, the Cubs 15-1. I like the Rockies to get back into the playoffs again.
Rockies are a good young team.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching kind of faded toward the end, and can you project somebody picking up the 15 Jason Marquis wins next year?
So out of one of our producers talking about Francis, maybe
Francis, being, yeah, healthy.
Yeah, healthy Francis in there.
Aaron Cook.
Mm-hmm. I like what they do. I like it's a good young squad.
They have a good manager. Jim Tracy is a solid guy. Did a terrific job after taking over Clint Hurdle. By the way, Hurdle hired to take over for Rudy Jaramillo as the hitting coach for the Texas Rangers next season.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting when you had guys like that, Bosley and Rusty Greer, right there. They were right there for that job, and here's Clint Hurdle from the Major League Baseball Network stepping down.
So was Gerald Perry.
Gerald Perry?
Yes.
So that would have been interesting.
Clint Hurdle was a hitting instructor for many years with a couple different teams before I became the manager of the Rockies, and good baseball man, but I wouldn't want to be the guy that replaces Rudy in Texas.
Yeah, it's a big shoes to fill. You know, you were talking about the kids in Arizona. The Futures game, all-star game for what's going on in the Arizona Fall League, will be on tonight at 7 o'clock on MLB Network. So for those that want to see the future stars, the next level that could be Major League ballplayers, is going to be at 7 o'clock on MLB Network.
And if you're expecting to see this kid Strasburg, who signed the big deal with Washington, you will be disappointed because he was scratched, had a physical issue, and will not be out there. I believe it was a shoulder soreness.
Hmm. See, again, the pressure and all the hype on Strasburg, and not saying he's going to be a bad pitcher, but just it's so much spotlight on a kid where they think he's going to be the next Dwight Gooden or all that. Can't he just be Steven Strasburg and see what happens?
We'll see. We'll see. You know, again, the pressure, and he's only one young pitcher who can get in a sore shoulder or injured elbow just as well as anybody else.
And the other thing with the Yankees, just back to the World Series very briefly, with Mariano Rivera, I'd like to be the Yankees for 10-plus years, never having to worry about that closer spot. He said, he was quoted saying, I want to pitch another 5 years if he can. He's 39, 40. He says he wants to continue to pitch.
He was a setup man before that in the mid-90s, you know, when for John Wetland before he became the closer. He was an awesome setup man. Now, 15 years later, he's still at the top of his game.
How about that?
I mean,
you don't have to worry about that position.
Yeah, with one pitch.
And he went old school on you in the World Series. He gives you more than an inning. That's a rubber arm from a right-hander that will give you two innings if you need. If you need more, he'll give you that.
It's amazing. A strained muscle in his neck is the injury for Strasburg. Or crack staff here. Crack or cracked?
Crack. No ED. Just crack. Okay. Production staff.
I know they're smoking something in there.
Mariano, by the way, 5-for-5 as the closer in the playoffs. 39 total saves in the playoffs.
No big
11 in the World Series.
No big surprise. Cliff Lee's contract was picked up. His option was picked up, $9 million for next year from Philadelphia. And you have to think going into next year with him as their ace, you know, they're going to be a better team possibly starting spring training next year than they were this year.
You like the Phillies to maybe go return?
I think they have some major bullpen issues.
Mm-hmm.
They probably need two or three guys in the bullpen. Madsen is not a bad reliever. I don't know if he's your closer of the future. Lidge is about at the end of the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had a pretty good postseason and blew up a little bit in the World Series. Yeah, they need some help in the bullpen, but, you know, how can you not like their lineup?
Yeah, it's strong.
I mean, it's beyond strong. It's balanced. You have left-handed power. You have speed. Two things that, you know, I want for the Cubs and the White Sox. if I have a holiday, early holiday wish list, it would be better defense and more speed. And if the White Sox and the Cubs can solve some of those issues over the wintertime, they'll be better teams. Now, the White Sox already believe they're a better team defensively, moving Beckham the second and having Rios from the beginning of the year in center field. We'll see about that. I think Rios is a very good outfielder, and it'll probably solve that. Who will play left? You know, who will play right? If it's Quinton and he continues to have a foot problem, defense may be a problem there. Tehan at third base, you know, to be honest with you, I thought that Gordon Beckham was on his way to being a gold glove third baseman there.
Mm-hmm.
His versatility allows him to move to second base very much like Ryan Sandberg did back in 1983 after playing the whole season almost, moving to second base, I think, in September of 1982 after playing third base.
Mm-hmm.
So defense and speed, those are the two things that I wish for the White Sox. The White Sox gave up a little speed when they traded Getz, picked up a little bit more versatility in Tehan.
I just want to know who's going to be the number one and number two in that lineup. I mean,
Which team?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
On both sides of town, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, neither team has a real leadoff man. There's not a guy that you say slam dunk, 370 on base percentage, 25, 30 stolen bases. I mean, Terrio is really not that. You know, he's not that for the Cubs. And, you know, who do you identify on the White Sox? Is it Jordan Danks as a rookie coming in to be the leadoff man? I don't think so. They tried that with Getz last year, and that was a difficult process. So, you know, if Sean Figgins would look good on either side of town, money constraints. We talked a lot about the White Sox money constraints. The Cubs are even more significant. Until they make a couple of trades, they have absolutely no extra money to use at this particular point.
As is, that's a team that's a favorite to win the division at the very least. If everyone stays healthy and their rotation.
The Cubs?
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it depends on what the Cardinals do. They have the two strongest starting pitchers in the division, you know, and Wainwright and Carpenter. Will Carpenter stay healthy a second year in a row? He hasn't done it very often. That's going to be a key. And how do they replace the run production from Matt Holliday if they don't bring him back?
Speaking of the rotation, let me ask you about Ted Lilly next on Talking Baseball on ESPN 1000.